WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively taking that Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. Brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have some 50th anniversary scratch-offs I'll be giving away. We have a dozen tour stops courtesy of our friends at Window Nation, 86690Nation. They're all up on the front of WNST and Baltimore Positive. We are also celebrating 25 years of WNST here on August the 3rd. We're going to start the Crab Cake Tour over at Costas and over at Drug City. Be hearing more about that all summer long. This guy and I were once friends back when I was a real media member. I've been thrown out for 17 years now, Jeff Montgomery, after 21 years of having a press credential. But back in the days of your playing baseball, I remember you coming to me and saying, hey, I'm thinking of investing in a little sports radio station, an AM station in Kansas City. Let's go down to Amici's and talk about the business of sports. And you're still pitching for the Royals at the time. All these years later, you're a true Kansas City sports entrepreneur. You're the closest thing we have to WNST anywhere in the country in what you do. How you been, man? I know the Royals aren't well, but it's baseball season here in Baltimore again for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, and it's been great to see what's going on there in Baltimore too, because I know for a while it was very much of a drought, but reinvigorated. I think Adley Rutschman has a lot to do with that. But all in all, you know, things have been well, other than the record here in Kansas City with the Royals. A lot of youth, a lot of hope, a lot of expectation, but also this year a lot of disappointment, because I feel like this team was expected to move a little bit further down the road than they have so far.
Well, Jeff, of course, pitched for a lot of years, WHB and 810, also does games and is part of the broadcast crew with the Royals for all of these years. I would just say for the Orioles and this climb, you know, that you have to be so bad. I mean, I saw the Orioles people bragging about having more 1-1s than anyone. I'm thinking, you know, that's a weird thing to brag about, being bad enough to get the best players. And you've already mentioned Rutschman, Kerstadt's coming along, Kowser, all of these number one draft picks. And then you add Grayson Rodriguez and the potential of all of that. You saw this. I mean, you were a witness to this. We were a victim to this almost a decade ago when the Royals came on, and it didn't happen fast for the Royals. Not like this, where the level of expectation, I mean, Moustakas and some of those guys really struggled. The Orioles haven't had that yet, but we're seeing a little bit of Henderson, a little bit of Rutschman, that it doesn't come out where you go to the Hall of Fame because you're a 1-1, but certainly the results on the field and winning has happened pretty quickly for this group here in Baltimore.
Yeah, I think that's just something that you just so difficult to predict in baseball. I think the other sports a little more predictable. Once you have a 1-1, you know pretty much what you're going to get and how he's going to have an impact on your franchise. But baseball is really such a wild card with regards to how fast guys are going to develop and how fast they're going to move along, if they're even going to move along and be an impactful type player at the highest level. So when you're able to catch that lightning in a bottle, it sure is a lot of fun to watch. The most difficult thing is keeping that lightning in a bottle. For example, Kansas City, you mentioned, struggle for so many years, eventually get to the postseason there in 14, back-to-back World Series. And then after that, it was really difficult to keep the players because of the salary structure and the free agency. And now you're going through that rebuild again, and it's been a tough one.
Yeah, I see Perez, and I look for remnants of what that blue wave was, right? And to me, it feels like 5 minutes ago, you guys were all piling in down there. And now the Chiefs have had, you know, three visits, a couple of championships. I mean, certainly for your city and for your sports radio station and all the things that are rock chalk and things that golf's big in your area and has been big news this week and all of that. But for the Royals and your background, and man, I remember you and I doing radio in the aughts when both teams just stunk. And they got together and we're taking pictures and we're doing ALCSs in Kansas City and Baltimore. The thing that I warn about, and I spoke at length to Will Graves this week from Pittsburgh in regard to the Pirates, and we talked Steelers and all that, but how quickly it comes and goes and how you have to capitalize on it. You do have – you got a pelt. You won the World Series. You're in two of them. I don't know when the halo of that goes away, but it made me sad to see the Orioles come to Baltimore last month and no one at games. And I'm like, man, they're right back to where they started from, and it happens quickly, and it happened quickly with Buck Showalter. Buck Showalter was here for a minute, Adam Jones and Manny Machado, and boom, it's rock bottom all over again. I mean, shame on baseball. You know, that's how I feel about it. Like, shame on baseball that this is the structure that you have to go and stink for a long period of time and give that to your fans in order to ever get good again.
Yeah, I think one thing they've done, fortunately, is they've tried to make the game more attractive with some rule changes. The other thing, they expand the playoffs. I think that's really evident in other sports on how much of a draw that can be, especially the second half of the season. Now, probably not as many teams are going to be in the hunt realistically to have a chance to win a World Series and be at the top of the mountain, that last team standing. But at least there's interest from the fans' perspective. As far as postseason potential and the ability to have the games mean something, especially during that stretch run in September.
Just from the outside, as a flyover for your baseball franchise, I want to ask, what did they do wrong? How did they F this up? I mean, how did they go from a full stadium and championships to not to last place and no one coming? Because I felt like there was a recruitment level. Maybe the Chiefs surging, you know, just takes all the juice away from the Royals because you have one chance to win every year right now, and it's there, certainly for the Ravens and the Orioles. I mean, everybody went away from the Orioles. You come in here every year, you saw empty it can be. Did the Royals franchise do something wrong to make it this empty? Could they have done anything better?
I think if you look back, and obviously it's easy to look back and have that hindsight 2020 vision, but it was 29 years from the time the Royals were in the playoffs in 1985 when they won a World Series until they made that wild card playoff bid in 2014. 29 years, 30 years between World Series championships, and they had a lot of players who were very instrumental in that run. They had players like Lorenzo Cain and Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas and Alcides Escobar. They had some really key players that all hit free agency at the same time. But our general manager at the time, Dayton Moore, and these players were all hitting free agency after that 16 year. And he just said, we're not going to try to win and then suddenly just shut things down. We want to try to win again. So instead of trading those players before they hit free agency, he wanted to try to win and be competitive again. And they were somewhat competitive, but as we know, when you win a championship, there's almost like a deflating effect, like a hangover effect the following year or two. And we saw that happen, whether it be injuries or just playing that long into the season and what it takes out of you, and especially the arms and your pitching staff. I think if they had it all to say over again, you maybe wouldn't have had that same feeling as far as, hey, let's try to play this thing out. The season will end, and let's try to re-sign Eric Hosmer. Let's try to re-sign Mike Moustakas. Let's try to re-sign Lorenzo Cain. You just couldn't afford to do that in the marketplace in which a lot of teams are in, including Kansas City. You just didn't have that type of payroll structure or flexibility to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on single players. As a result, they leave via free agency. You get a draft choice for them, yes. But those draft choices normally, I think probably one out of every 10 is going to be a hit, regardless of what round you pick.
Jeff Montgomery is our guest, a longtime pitcher, major league pitcher, and all-star in the 1993 All-Star game. 30 years, Monty. 30 years since we, I mean, crazy. Geddy Lee, the whole deal, John Kruk, all that, Randy Johnson. And Jeff, of course, has been a member of the media and a member of the community, and an entrepreneur with WHB 810 in Kansas City, and living through the good times of the Chiefs and the bad times of the Royals and the good times of the Royals. So for the Orioles and flying into this week and seeing where they are, and you're going to see some people at the ballpark this weekend. They're doing this bobblehead for Rutschman this weekend, so that'll be happening as well. A little bit more vibrancy into downtown. We've even souped up the arena. We got Brian Adams and Joe Jett in this week. We fixed our arena after all these years. It just reopened about 10 weeks ago. So for the Orioles, and I have people come up to me every day after the Lamarathon around here, the offseason is signing him. Hey, are they going to extend Rutschman? When are they going to start giving money to these guys? And I mean, they already want to pay Rodriguez and they already sent him back to Norfolk. I mean, the saviors that come along in the minds of baseball fans in the early days of this, and how not to have what happened here happen after Buck Showalter, right? Where Adam Jones is playing in Japan, Machado's running around in those Padres uniforms, and we're stuck with this stupid contract with Chris Davis. He's still the highest paid player on the team. $15 million this year to the Angelos family, still the highest paid. So mistakes that you make, whether it could be a mistake on a Hosmer or Moustakas after they have a big year and you keep them around. They did that with Chris Davis here. But finding the right way to do this, and I had a bucket of cold water on me last week. I had Barry Bloom on, longtime AP writer, and, you know, crotchety, curmudgeonly, only been seeing everything for 50 years. And he, in my moment of joy with the Orioles, he says, "Now you do know they're always going to be outspent 3 or 4 to 1 by the Red Sox or the Yankees." And I'm like, oh yeah. So if these guys all get good, the Orioles won't be able to pay them all, and they'll go play for the. So I'm that cycle of all of that. I'm trying to figure out this time around with the Orioles how they don't try to shoot the moon and have an empty stadium in 8 years somehow. Like, is there any model for the Orioles to make that work? I mean, the Indians did it for a long time back in your era by signing guys early. We're in a different era and a different model now. I think everybody's trying to do that. The Cubs tried to chase that. There are a lot of teams, but it really isn't forever, I guess, right? Like, unless you're the Yankees or the Dodgers, you can spend. It's not like the NFL where you can be the Steelers or the Patriots or even the Ravens or even the Chiefs and just have this long tail, especially if you have a quarterback in that sport, right? Where you, and you pay them $52 million a year, you can keep it going. Maybe in baseball, this is a cigar. Smoke them while you got them, because you're not going to have them forever.
Well, unless you're the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, they're a team that finds a way to, every year, they're at or near the top of the division, contenders, doing what it takes as a small market team without a large payroll, without a lot of people in the ballpark, low revenue. But I think it all comes down to development. And the other thing is, you have to be a team that's willing to be transactional. You have to be willing to make some trades. You have to part ways with some guys that sometimes it's pretty hard to do based on the loyalty that they've shown your organization, but you have to treat the players essentially like one of your assets. And how do you best distribute those assets throughout your roster to make it viable on a long-term basis? And I think that's something that the Rays have done, and that's why they're at the top of their division. But it's really, really difficult. You can't make very many mistakes.
For you, and watching the game get wacky in regard to analytics and in regard to shifts and in regard to situational pitchers, and, you know, you were a bullpen guy, but certainly not the way they played the game the last 10 years, let's say. The changes in the game have come at this time in our city, and you know how much this city sort of waiting for baseball, waiting for Cal Ripken to reappear and all of that. That all of this has happened at a time when the games are 2.5 hours. They start the games at 6:30 downtown, try to get the kids in. The man on second base, they don't play all night. All the shifting and the visual part of the game, and then the speed part of the game. It reminds me a little bit of like the 82 Cardinals and sort of running wild, where the pickoff thing has changed the structure of speed and the weapon of speed in the game. And the Orioles come into this. How are you enjoying? I mean, it sucks when your team's no good, right? You're watching a bad team play. But the game itself this year, just a fundamental change in a way that I don't think I've ever seen in my lifetime. Maybe my dad could talk about how the DH really changed things in 73 or the 68 mound and, like, you know, and the baseball itself. But this season specifically has just, I mean, Rob Manfred will be known for this, and I guess Theo, but they fixed baseball, Monty. They really have.
I really have to say that, you know, watching every game, every night it's played for my team, the Royals, and even bad baseball at times, most of the time, I don't mind a 2.5 hour baseball game. I mean, it's been refreshing to me to not have to sit through 3+ hours of bad baseball. It's still the same amount of outs. It's just they're doing it at a more rapid pace. And I think what the players have done, they've added some, you know, some celebratory factors in, which in my era would never have flown. That would have been really difficult to be a pitcher and watching a guy pimp a home run and do the things that they do nowadays. But that's just something that I think has been good for the game as far as the younger fans and the celebrations and all they've done to try to make it more of a younger person's game. And I think, the older curmudgeon type, you know, just have to get past it because they needed to do some things to make it more attractive. And I really feel like they've done that.
Well, I guess for baseball and trying to get people back to the game and recruiting people, especially in a town like yours where the football team and in our town, the football team has been the big gorilla for a long, long time. Anything you want to say about the Chiefs? Because I haven't had you on, I haven't bugged you much, and we haven't talked a lot of baseball, but man, since the last time we got together a couple of years, I guess, and the plague, the Chiefs have really realized, you know, all the promise and dreams of Lamar Hunt. I know there was a tragedy in the family this week as well, but for the Chiefs and for your community and what they've put forth and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the ownership have done there. I mean, I just tip my cap. It's a nice thing to see. It's an uphill climb for the Lamars of the world and the Joe Burrows and all these guys trying to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But that has been a wild scene for your town the last 5 years.
Well, it's been a lot of fun for the people who are Chiefs fans, and I'm one of them. And I think the biggest thing is, I talked earlier about baseball being transactional. I mean, last year when, they traded Tyreek Hill, that's a good example of being transactional and finding ways to improve your team with maybe some beloved players that you're thinking, what in the world's going on here? How can we win without Tyreek Hill? And sure enough, they turn things around, they bring in some people, and again, it's that transactional mode to make things happen, but they have to be good decisions. They have to be really good decisions. And I think now the way football is, you have to have a quarterback that's a proven winner. You have to have a guy that has the ability to be the guy that's standing at the top of the mountain when all is said and done. And fortunately, the Chiefs have Pat Mahomes has been able to demonstrate his ability to do that.
Well, you played with George Brett, which always makes you my hero. You know that. So I appreciate you always making time and coming on 30 years later. Hope things are going well out in Kansas City. And I would say we'll get out there at some point. You know what I mean? There'll be a playoff game. There'll be a game. There'll be something. The Royals will come back, and the Orioles will make it interesting a couple of years from now. But I do hope to make your acquaintance soon. Maybe have a crab cake over Pappas or Costas or Fadley somewhere in the community. But it's always good to have you in town, man.
That sounds great, Nestor. Looking forward to an opportunity to do that real soon, I hope. I'm looking forward to coming to Baltimore this weekend. We got an off day on Thursday, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully,
Have an off day on Thursday. How about that? Maybe it's crabs for you and me on Thursday night.
hopefully it'll be a fun weekend.
Jeff Montgomery joining us here from 810 WHB, a longtime Royal at heart. I even sing the Lord song Royals for Kansas City. I hope to get back out there soon. One of my favorite towns in America for sure. I'm always looking for a good excuse to see Springsteen or somebody out in Kansas City. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, welcoming the Royals to Baltimore and a full ballpark this weekend in Baltimore. We are BaltimorePositive.com.